2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 19. I'll find my place in a minute. Verse number 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad there's a foundation? Everything's shifting in this world, but there's something. He said, standeth sure. Amen. Praise God. He said, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Ain't you glad that? Ain't you glad the Lord knows all those that's His? Praise God. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In other words, he said, sometimes there's a house divided. There's those that's living in it and trying to do righteously. And there's others that are not very concerned. And he said, we need to be concerned about where we are. Now listen to me. It's not about where somebody else is. It's about where you are this morning. See, that's what we're going to stand and give account for when we stand before the Lord, is where we are. Not where somebody else is, but where you are personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then he goes on and tells us what we need to do. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, and all men apt to teach, patient. I want to say patience is a virtue. I was working with a fellow here Friday, and we had some difficulties, you might say. And we come up early to work, and the machine out here wouldn't start. Amen. We got here early so we could get a run at it, and it wouldn't start. And we fooled with it and tried to jump it off. It still wouldn't start. So we ended up having, he said, now wait a minute, Pastor. He said, we're working for the Lord. Why is this happening? I said, brother, the Lord has a way of teaching us patience. Amen. We have to learn patience. It's a hard lesson sometimes. So we had to take the battery out, had to take it down the interstate and get a new battery and bring it back. Amen. But God teaches patience. And patience is a virtue. Amen. He said, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. There's a lot of people today that oppose themselves. Hey, you know what? In our families, a lot of people oppose themselves. See, if God preadventure will give them repentance to not the acknowledging of the truth. The truth is in Christ Jesus, our Savior. When we realize what He done for us on Calvary and how He's here to help us. He's ever present to help us in everything that we endeavor to do. Amen. For His glory. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So he said that we recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Amen. When they start to go wrong, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ shows them how to do right. If we ain't careful, we get caught in captivity by the devil. Amen. But in chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." As we look at this today, I want to preach in this, on this for a few minutes, if God will be my help on this thought. A nation in peril. Amen? A nation in peril. We see that there's certain things around us, and we could safely say that we're living in perilous times. It's messed up, the world that we live in. There's a lot of conflict and a lot of things happening. The biblical practices that we've known all our life, they've been removed from schools. They've been moved out of the sphere of everything that we used to know, and things have been changed. Crime and juvenile delinquency is something, praise God, that's an all-time high that we see today, and the morality of our nation, praise God, it's an all-time low. Amen. The morality of our nation is in an all-time low. Our morality is about as low as it could get in some places. Amen. But there's a God of heaven, and He speaks to our heart, and He lets us know the answer to the question, why are we living in times of peril? Amen. Why are we living in times of peril? Why is things the way they are? Amen. And the only person, the only one that has the answers is God. Amen. Amen. But we see this word peril, and I want to look at this for just a minute. I'm going to take my time this morning. I want you to see it. I've got a lot of scripture we want to cover today, but I got a lot of answers that God will give us if we'll trust Him. Something we can take home with you, take home with you, praise God, that you can get through here and realize, praise the Lord, with a shout that God is still in control. He still knows exactly where we are, where you are, and what's needed in the hour that we live. So why are we seeing, why are we living in times of peril? So we see peril. We see the P of peril represents the power that's gone from the churches. Amen. They used to be a time that churches was on fire for Jesus. It was a time that the Holy Spirit of God moved in our congregations. It was a time, praise God, when we come looking for the Lord. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He told them, He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want to say the only way we'll have power to overcome the obstacle that we face, praise God, the only way to get power back in the church is through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to have to start listening again. As God wants to speak to our heart, He wants to speak to you and He wants to speak to me. But I want to say He can't speak to you if you don't want to listen. We're going to have to turn an attentive ear to God one more time, and we're going to have to come looking for Him and expecting Him to say something to you and me. Amen. That's what's going to make a difference, because this power's gone out of the church. Praise God, because we ain't expecting the Holy Ghost to show up. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that churches should be spiritually filled. The power's gone out of the church because there's no spirit in the church no more. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 18, He said, be not drunk with wine where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Listen, He said it's not the earthly stuff. It's not the pleasures of the world, but it's a pleasure of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin and the Spirit of God that moves in your heart and begins to take up His abode and begins to take us in directions that we never assumed we could go. You say, well, preacher, I never realized I could do that. Praise God. We can't without Jesus, but with the power of God. He said, be not drunk with wine, where's an excess? The worldly pleasures, the things of this world, He said, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That means to be being filled. He said, there's a constant refreshing from the Lord. That's what the psalmist said he was looking for. He needed that constant refreshing from God. You and I need that constant refreshing from the Lord. Amen. Praise God, things get discouraging. The world that we live in can be depressing, but there's a God of heaven said if we'd let Him and we'd look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, He'd refresh us every day, because His mercy is new every day, and He bestows upon you and I. Amen. The power's gone out of the churches because of lack of the Spirit. The power's gone out of the churches because of lack of the Holy Spirit, because of the filling of the Spirit. The power's gone out of the churches, praise God, because the church is no longer transformed. And then we become part of something another. Praise God, where we just want to go along to get along. Amen? Amen. Amen. Somebody say, don't quit on me now. Amen. Amen. We want to just go along to get along. But the Bible said that we're supposed to, Romans chapter 12 and 2, He said to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, praise God, they ought to be a transformation. Praise God, when you realize in your head and He hammers into your heart what Jesus done for you on the cross of Calvary. Praise God, He said they ought to be a transformation take place in the soul and the minds of the people. Praise God, we preach one time, ought to be a jackhammer taken to your own life. Praise God, and transform it. Praise God, remodeled and new, praise the Lord, where Jesus Christ the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God can move in and take up His abode in your heart. That's what He does, and He begins to love us and help us to love Jesus and to love one another. And when we get to love Jesus and we begin to love one another, we can even begin to like self. Amen. Hey, listen, it was a time in my life, I'll just be honest, I'll just tell you about me. It was a time in my life I didn't like me much. Amen? Probably other people didn't like me much. Probably some people now don't like me much. Amen? But praise God, I tell you, when Jesus came in my life, I began to learn to love Him, praise God. He made all the difference in the world because He first loved me. And He showed me that I could love Him. And I began to reciprocate that love back to Him. You tell me, what? Preacher, how do we do that? It's a transforming of your mind. You begin to think differently. Amen. And it's well-pleasing to the Lord when we begin to have that transformation in our mind, praise God, into a likeness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I told the whole church the other day, I believe it was Wednesday night, praise God, to be Christian is to be Christ-like. Amen. To be like Him. Amen. He was perfect, sinless man. He had compassion. He showed love everywhere He went. Amen. You know how you get love? How people love you, praise God, when you love them, praise God, when you love them back. Amen. When we show love, praise God, it makes the difference in our lives. Amen. But the power's gone out of churches because there's no spirit. Amen. The power's gone out of churches because there's no longer a transformation. People ain't being changed. They go in, they pop their bubble gum, they go in nonchalantly, come out nonchalantly, and some so-called preachers tells them they're all right. I tell you, I've been all up and down this community, knock on doors, and I talk to people, and they say, I think I'm okay. Amen. Wouldn't know God if they tripped over Him. But I think I'm okay. I want to say you're not okay if you're lost without God, if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved by the marvelous grace of God. You say, preacher, what takes place? A transforming of the mind. God shows you that you're no lost sinner and in need of a Savior. And you know that you can't save yourself, but somebody named Jesus went to the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago and died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And praise God because God said so. And He got up victorious over that grave, Brother Bill, 3 days later because God said so, and because of that, you can live victorious in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm glad today I can call Him mine. Amen, amen. Brother God, Brother Josh, I'm glad God can call me His. Amen. You said, preacher, what happened to you? God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. When I got saved. Praise God. Put her down there. Praise God. He don't. Hey, praise the Lord. He loved me enough. Praise God. He wrote my name in His book. Amen. Praise God. So we see God, He said, there's able to be a transforming of the mind. Amen. The power has gone from the church, praise God, because the church doesn't stand and dictate morals no more. The church used to be that stood for things. Amen. The old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what do we stand on? We stand on the Word of God. Amen. We take this as the gospel, as God's holy word, praise God, and we stand upon it. Amen. Because it is God's word. Praise God. Ain't you glad we got the word? Amen. That used to be a bunch of, I don't know what they were. You used to go around and they'd bump their knuckles and they'd say, word. Amen. And somebody come up to me one time and done that, said, hey, word. I bumped their foot. I said, Jesus, praise God. Amen. That's the word, amen. Lord, that's what makes a difference, amen. And because of that, we have the moralities that we have. We have the morality of the country, but we've lost that because we've compromised the things of God. Amen. Amen. Used to the church when they was having elections and people, they said, you know what, this little old town's thinking about voting and allowing alcohol to be sold. And the church would rise up and the people would rise up and they'd say, not right here, you ain't. Amen. Morality wouldn't allow it. They said, praise God, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where's next sense? We need to put that mess around. We shouldn't allow that stuff. And we're to just say, you know what, we're going to go with God. We're going to stay with Jesus, praise God, because He said, listen, He said, we need to have a transforming of the mind. We need to have clear thinking to line up with the things of God. Amen. The devil's destroying our people today because he's altering their minds. Amen. A devil get in your mind, you do stupid things when you ain't right. Amen. The drugs and the alcohol of this world, it's destroying our minds where we can't think about God. But God said we need to have a renewing of the mind. He said we need to have a change of heart and a change of life. We need to realize morality, praise God, is important. Amen? Because the power of God, the power's gone from the church because we've let down on our morals. We haven't stood for what's important. Hey, listen. Let me just say this. We got election coming up in 2 days on November the 8th, Tuesday. And we need to go to polls and we need to vote. Amen. Every one of us, praise God, need to take a stand. You say, what do you stand on, Si? I said, we ought to stand on the Word of God. If there's anybody out there that's going against this blessed old book, praise God, they need to be gone.
Amen.
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 Now don't quit on me. I think you're a liberal progressive. Amen. Praise God, we're not little progressive, praise God, we're conservatives. Because we stand upon the word of truth, praise God, and the truth. The Bible said the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Amen, praise the Lord. We have to stand up for what is right. Amen, praise God. We have to stand up for what God says. Amen, we know, praise God, it's wrong to kill all these babies that they're killing. Amen. Praise God, morality tells you, praise God, that we need to, there is a sanctity. The Bible said, thou shalt not kill. I don't need to say no more about that because that's what God says. Amen? So we got to take a step. What is that? That's morality. And when we start compromising our morality, we start losing power. Amen? In our communities. We start losing power with the lost people because they figure out they're just about as good as we are. Amen? So we have powers gone from the church. And then in peril we have E, which means empty prayer closets. Amen? Empty prayer closet. The Bible talks about Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. He said, go into your prayer closet and pray. And he said, when you go in, praise God, then God will hear and he'll bless you openly. Praise God. Amen? So we need to be in our prayer closet. We need to be praying and asking God to bless us and help us. But you say, why, preacher? Because empty prayer closets, amen, leads to empty lives. If we ain't careful, we're just going through a pretense of Christianity, a pretense of being religious. I want to say this morning, religion sent more people to hell than anything I know. People will get religious and they'll think they're religious, praise God, but without the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart, without salvation, there is no hope. Amen. And the Bible says that hope maketh not ashamed. Hope, praise God. That's faith with an expectation of something better coming. I'm looking for something better, ain't you? But praise God, listen, our empty prayer closet. We don't pray and we don't seek God's face. Don't lift up our voices. We don't call up Him, praise God, from our heart. It leads to empty lies. Look at Haggai chapter number 1. Haggai chapter number 1. Bible says this in verse number 3. He said, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now he's talking to Judah. He's talking to Israel. Praise God. He said, "Listen, is it okay for you to live in your sealed houses?" Now you've got to remember that the work on the temple had stopped for 16 years. Amen. Can you imagine what would happen to America if Christians just shut up and shut down for 16 years? You say, preacher, I don't know what happened. What's happening in America today? That's what would happen. Amen. If we just shut up and shut down for 16 years, we'd see America wasting. He said, in this house lie waste. He said, now therefore saith the Lord of hosts. Now watch it. He said, so consider your ways. Your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Now watch this. Daniel said in the last days we'd be running to and fro. Here, there, and yonder. With not much effect. But he said, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you. But there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag the bag with holes. Amen? You ever feel like you're working your fingers to the bone, you don't have enough? You still come up short? Hello? Oh me. But he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, pay attention to what you're doing and why you're doing it. The attitude of your heart. Amen. He said, that's what makes a difference. So we see, praise God, when we have empty prayer closets, we'll end up having empty lives. Oh, we'll think we're done and good. We'll think we're running well. But praise God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without help from God, amen, you'll come up empty. Every time. Empty lives. Amen. You know what happens when we're running on empty and we have empty lives without the Lord? We'll have empty services.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about that? You wonder why the service is empty, so why sometimes they're so cold and indifferent? Because we're running on empty. Amen. Because of a lack of prayer in our prayer closet, because of a lack of life, praise God, that's trust in the Lord. And that has brought about empty services. Isaiah chapter number 1, the Bible says this. Isaiah chapter number 1, verse 11. He tells the people, he says, "To this purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain obligations or offerings. Incense is an abomination." He said, "I find it disgusting unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting." Said, "Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, for I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, you will hide mine eyes from, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make your prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." He said, "Wash you," verse 16, "and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes and cease to do evil." So the Lord's speaking here, and he said, "Hey, listen, when you got empty lives, you have empty services." Oh, we go through the pretense of worshiping, don't we? But Brother Ferris told us last Sunday, he said, when you preach to worship, praise God, when you come to worship, it means to fall prostrate before God. It means come with humility and humbleness before God and just fall at his feet and say, "Lord Jesus, I love you, I appreciate you. I know I'm nothing, but you're everything. You make the difference. He makes us who we are if we'll let Him. He's wanting to help us, young'uns. He's wanting to move in this valley. He's wanting to move in the community." I talk to people, I talk to young people especially. And they know where they need to be. They know what they need to do, but they just won't do it. There's something that's, you know what it is? It's self. Amen? It's self. Selfishness. It's self. It's holding them back. It's selfish. It's the lust of the flesh that's holding them down. They say, "Oh, preacher, if I get burned at church, you know what I'd have to give up?" No, let me tell you what you can gain by loving the Lord Jesus Christ and making Him the Lord of your life. You get that peace and hope and victory, praise God. You get eternal hope in Christ Jesus, your Savior. That's more important than anything we could offer. It's better than a 401k. Amen. It's the best. Hey, praise God, it's a retirement program that's out of this world. Amen. It gives you all the benefits, not of this world, but of glory. Amen. Heaven, He's got it all. You realize God owns it all. He has it, everything. But He said, because we have an empty prayer closet, because we don't pray like we ought to, we have empty lives. Because we have empty lives, praise God, we have empty services. Amen. You know what the result of empty services? Empty pews. Hello? Empty pews. Amen. We have a whole lot of space here this morning where people could be. You say, "Well, preacher, why ain't our churches? Why are our churches far away? Why are people staying at home?" Because they just want to come to empty service. Amen? And the reason we have empty service, because there's empty prayer closets. Because the empty prayer closet, praise God, we have empty lives. Because we have empty lives, praise God, we have the empty services. That's why we have empty pews. You say, how do you change that, praise God? By coming in and getting on fire for God. For coming, loving Lord Jesus Christ, lifting up His name. Amen. For getting excited to be in God's house. We ought to be excited. Amen. There's a lot of people that would like to be here and can't. But we come here, praise God, and we can worship Him in spirit and truth to realize that He loves us and He cares for us. And we worship Him and praise Him, praise God. And He likes that. The Lord loves our praise. Praise God. So we have the power's gone churches. The prayer closets is empty. And the reading of God's Word is neglected. Amen. The reading of God's Word is neglected. The Bible says, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." John 5:39. Amen. He said, you think the Word of God, the Scripture, He said, "Search the Scriptures." But do we search the Scriptures? Do we look for God? Do we seek Him? The Bible said, if you'll seek Him early, you'll find Him. You know the best time to read your Bible? Is first thing of the morning. While your mind is fresh. Amen. Jump up and get in your shower and get woke up. Get you a cup of coffee. Sit down with your Bible and read. Amen. God speak to your heart. You say, well, preacher, it's awful early. You got Bible apps. Amen. Pull it up on your phone. It's a funny thing. Man, you'll sit and look at that phone for 30 minutes of a morning and try to catch up. Amen. We ought to take 30 minutes a morning to catch up with God. Amen. Catch up with the Lord. Amen. Let Him speak to your heart. Fix you a Bible out, praise God. And every morning, praise the Lord. I ask God to show you what you need for that day. Amen. But reading of the Word has been neglected. Amen. We need to search the Scriptures to find the Lord and find His thing. But then the Bible says that we need to study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed. Why do we not be ashamed? Because we study the Word. We know what God says. I have people all the time say, well, preacher, what do you think about this? Praise God, I don't know what I think, but I tell you what God says. Amen. Get that book, open it up, say, well, this is what the Lord says. And let God speak to our hearts. Praise God, let's give them the truth. Amen. So they make an informed decision. I don't know about you, I like the truth, don't you? I don't want nobody to tell me a lie. And I don't, hey, listen, I love you to pieces, but really I don't want your opinion. Amen. When it comes to biblical things, when it comes to spiritual things, just tell me what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. I like good hard preaching. Amen. You can preach it straighter than I can live it, but you'll never preach it straighter than I like it. I want somebody to tell me the truth so it can help me, encourage me, praise God, to live my life and a glorious life for Christ Jesus, my Savior. He said, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the word of truth? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word of truth. It'll speak to our hearts, praise God. We're missing that. We're losing that. A nation in peril. Amen. Because we don't search the Scripture, because we won't study for ourselves. So that we can hide the Word in our heart. In Psalms 119:11, the Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. The psalmist was speaking to the Lord of heaven. Amen. And he said, Thy word, Your word, Lord, I've hid in my heart so that I don't sin against You. So I don't become an offense to God. Amen. You say, preacher, how does all this come about when we neglect the Word of God, when we neglect the reading of the Word of God? So we have the powers gone from the church. We have the empty closets. We have the reading of the Word is neglected. But then we see an interest falling away. Interest. There's no interest in things of God. Amen. It's just a passing interest. You know, I can take it or leave it. Hello? Amen. On Sunday morning, you know, if I feel like it, I'll get up and, you know, I'll get dressed and I'll go to church. But if I don't feel like it, what if God just took one morning? God don't get up of morning. He's always up. But what if God one morning, praise God, when you got up, just said, you know what, I'm just going to leave Him alone today. I'm not going to help Him in any way. I'm just going to let Him fend for Himself. Amen. By the time God said that, by the time God quit, you'd go, and you'd be gone. As a fellow told me one time, said, I wish God just leave me alone. I said, fellow, you're crazy. If God leaves you alone, you're a dead man. God, hey, listen, we don't have enough sense to breathe on our own. Hello? Have you ever tried breathing? You get to thinking about breathing, you'll suffocate yourself to death. A fact! Have you ever been in an MRI? They take you and they put you on that table and they roll you into that tube. And you're like, oh, Lord, help me. And that thing's about that far above your face. And you're like, oh, Lord, help me. I can't breathe. Can't breathe. Oh, Lord. And they're pumping air in there the whole time. I mean, they're pumping enough air in there for 10 people to breathe. But in your mind, you get to thinking about your breathing. You know, kind of like you say about blonde people. Say they got a thing that says in, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. But you get to thinking about that. You get to think about your breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. You'll suffocate yourself to death. I mean, you know what you'd have to do? I'd just have to shut my eyes and I'd just get to thinking about Jesus. Amen. I just forget about trying to breathe, praise God. And guess what? The Lord does it for me. We can't do nothing without Him. But people are neglecting Him. There's no interest in God no more. But ain't you glad He's still got an interest in you? Amen. No matter where you are, what you've done. You remember the things you've done in your life that you knew bring a reproach against the name of God? But God loved you anyway. Praise God. Brought you through that. Amen. Put you on the other side so you come out shouting. So you can be here this morning, praise God, and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving somebody, for keeping me. Amen. We ought to have an interest in Him because He's got an interest in us. But the interest is failing. The interest is falling away. We just don't seem to think that God and godliness is important anymore. The interest has fallen away in our Sunday schools. Amen. Used to, we were on fire for God, and we were parents, and we was excited about getting our kids to the Sunday school class, and we wanted them to be instructed. We wanted that Sunday school teacher to dig into the Word of God and manifest to our little ones, amen, the precious things of God, so that they could take that and be encouraged and live a good, virtuous life, so that we could have morality in the world in which we live. But we've got lost interest in that, and we're losing children left and right. The devil's just sucking them in. Amen. Why? Because we've lost the power in our churches. We've lost we've got empty prayer closets because we're not reading our Bibles, because we've lost interest in God. We've lost interest in godly things. We've lost interest in our prayer service. Used to, we'd come together, and we still do on Wednesday nights. A lot of times we have a good prayer service. We just take a Wednesday night prayer meeting and we lift up our voices and we cry out our supplications, sometimes with weeping, sometimes with praise. Amen. Because of interest. Interest that we have. Because if we don't have interest in God, and we don't have interest in our Sunday school, and interest in our prayer service, then we're not going to have any interest for lost souls. Hello? The nation is in peril because we don't have an interest in lost souls. Sin souls say, we don't have a burden today. Amen. How many of us know and have lost loved ones? Amen. Are we interested enough to pray, enough to seek God's face? Amen. But we're a nation in peril. Not only have interest fallen away, but love of many is waxed cold. Matthew 24:12, He said, the love of many will wax cold. We've got a cold love. We don't love like we ought to. We don't have that love for God that we ought to have. Amen. A lot of our places, a lot of our churches, a lot of our people are lukewarm. Amen. What'd God say about that? Revelation chapter number 3, the Bible said about the lukewarm church. He said, I know thy works and that thou art neither cold nor hot. Revelation 3:15. I would thou wert cold or hot. God said, I want you either to be on fire or just go ahead and admit you're just cold and indifferent. You say, preacher, why would God do that? Why would He want that? Because He either wants you on His side on fire, doing things pleasing to Him and lifting up praising His name, or He wants you to admit that you're just cold and indifferent so He can build a fire under you. So He can kindle that fire, praise God, of hope and help that you need. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God wants us, praise God, not to wax cold, but He wants us to be on fire for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, well, preacher, down at the church house, sometimes it just seems so cold. You know why? Amen. Because you haven't been talking to God. You don't have that power in the church. A power of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. You ain't spending no time in your prayer closet. Praise God. You haven't been reading your Bible much. You don't have much interest in the things of God. You come to church cold and indifferent. Hello? Amen. You come to church cold and indifferent. Praise God. We ought to bring a little kindling with us. We ought to be praying and seeking God's face, filled with the Spirit of God when we come. Amen. If there's a fire burning down the soul, and then some old sister or some brother, they jump up and get to praising God, and that thing flames up. Amen. I'm not talking about wildfire, praise God. I'm talking about fire and power of God. I'm talking about seeing the Holy Spirit move in your life and seeing you getting excited about what God has done for you and what God's going to do for you and the promise that you have and the hope of glory, which is Christ Jesus, your Savior. And one day in a little while, young ones, you're going to see Him face to face, see Him as He is, and you'll be like Him. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you. The older I get, the more I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Praise God, me and Brother Bill, we're about running 2 taters to the hill. Amen. Amen. I praise God. We're doing all right, but we're productive, but not as productive as we'd like to be.
Amen.
But glory, hallelujah. One of these days we'll get those glorified bodies like unto the Lord, and we're going to run and shout and praise God. Amen. I'll have good knees and He'll have good lungs. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Heaven won't be safe. Amen. Glory to God. Because there's a fire in my soul, praise God. You know, I quit preaching about every Sunday. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. About every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I just say, preacher, I'll just say, Lord, I ain't doing this no more. I'm just going to give it up. I'm just going to quit. I'm going home. I ain't coming back. Amen. Hey, don't look at me like that. You do it too. Amen. Come Sunday morning, you say, I don't know if I'm on today or not. But you get up and you come anyway. Why? Because there's a fire in my bones. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that He first loved me. And so I get up, praise God, the next appointed time. Praise God, I read and I study and I pray and I grab that old book and I head down the road again. Amen. Praise God, I find me a place where a place here at the house of God with the people of God, and we come to encourage and edify and lift up and, praise God, encourage each other. You know what it does to my heart when you're at the house of God? It encourages me. Amen. It says, praise God, all right, I'll go a little farther. Amen. He said, well, preacher, I thought you were just supposed to be taking care of us. I didn't know we was taking care of you all. No, contrary. Amen. You do a whole lot more for me than I do for you. I guarantee it. Amen. When you show up to the house of God, you let us know that you love us, that you care for us. Amen. But they'd waxed cold, or love had waxed cold for one another. Love had waxed cold to God. Their love had waxed cold for the house of God. Amen. But the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. You know, anymore, a lot of churches, you know what people go to church for? To pice out their business cards. Amen. Amen. To see what they can get, see how many people they can draw into their clique so they can be more productive in society. Amen. Praise God. He said, hey, listen, this is a house of prayer. This is where we come to worship God and magnify and lift Him up. They said, if we ain't careful, we can just make it a den of thieves. A whole lot of ungodliness come together. Amen. Without God. Amen. But we've waxed cold in our church to God. We've waxed cold in the church. But we've waxed cold in the home and in the family. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 in verse 49. The Bible says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? He's talking about the fire of John the Baptist, by the way, when John the Baptist had already been preaching the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the Savior to come. He said, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. You say, well, wait a minute. What kind of Savior do we serve? It causes division. He said, from henceforth, there shall be 5 in one house, divide 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's a lot of division. Amen. But look at the world today that we live in. There's a lot of division in the world today. You know, preacher, what causes it? An unbelief. A lack of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have it and some don't. Some want it and some don't want it. Amen? So those that have it's got to be more encouraging. You say, well, there's more of them than there are of me. Praise God, that means you just got to be more encouraging. We need more of Jesus, praise God, so we can persuade them. He said, go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's whatever it takes. Now listen to me, and I'm just winding up. Whatever it takes to get them in. Amen? In other words, what Christ has to do in your life to make you like Him so they'll be encouraged to come in. So that His house might be full. Amen. Praise God. So that God can get the glory out of our lives. Homes and families will be changed. The love of God will be waxed strong. We need strong relationships with Christ in our homes. Amen. We need that power of God ministering to us. We need it in our home, and we need it among Christians. Christian brother, a love of Christ wax cold between Christian folks. That's not a good thing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. If I can find Matthew chapter 9, somebody stole mine. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 38. Bible says this. I'm sorry. No wonder I can't find it. I'm in the wrong book. It's Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. And the Lord answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Amen. Brother, sister, praise God. We all won't be the same. We all won't worship the same. But praise God, we're serving the same Lord. And we need to do it with a heart and with an attitude of love toward Him and toward each other. Amen. It's not to be seen. Amen. It's not to be seen. It's not to make a name for ourselves. But it's to lift up the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we see the love of God that's waxing cold, praise God. And we don't need that. We need the Lord. The nation is in peril because the love of God is waxed cold. People have become indifferent in the day that we live. Amen. The love has waxed cold for the lost in the community. We don't have a desire. The psalmist said in Psalms 124 and 4, he cried out and he said, no man careth for my soul. Can you imagine a place and a time and a people where someone would say, Lord, it doesn't seem like anybody cares for my soul. That's cold love. That's where love has waxed cold. The nation is in peril today, youngins. Amen. Because the power has gone out of the churches. The nation is in peril today because prayer closets is empty. The nation is in peril today because the reading of the Word is neglected, because there's a lack of interest in the Lord, and because love has waxed cold and indifferent. You say, how do we change it? By getting in this book, by loving the Lord Jesus Christ, by studying His Word, by loving each other, by coming together and praising His holy name. You say, well, preacher, I don't really feel like it. Amen. Listen to me. We don't run on feelings. We run on the truth of God's Word. And the Bible says He loved us. I love Him because He first loved me. And I believe that day. He loved me before I ever thought about loving Him. And because of that, we have something that we can count on today. A direction that we can go. A nation is in peril. And we need help from the Lord. If we call upon His name, trusting in Him, relying on Him, adhering to Him, He takes us and He molds us and makes us and brings us along. We're on the potter's wheel and we're in His hand. He molds us, makes us. What would you like to be today? A nation, praise God, that's in peril. Can be a nation that's revived and stirred and thrive with the goodness of God. What do we need today? Instead of taking God out of everything, we need to put God into everything. As I've said before, I'll say it again, probably a million times if God leads me here, we need to have a priority. Not priorities, that's an oxymoron. We need to have a priority. And that priority, it needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. Food, clothing, housing, whatever we need. God said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, what's right in the eyes of God, He said, I'll add to you. Amen. Praise God. A nation in peril today because we've turned our back on God. So how do you get it back, Pastor? By just looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him, amen, following after Him and asking Him to help us. in this journey called life. Amen. We're going to come up against a lot of obstacles. In the days ahead, there'll be more obstacles than we could ever think about. But I want to say my God today, my Lord, my Savior, is the God of the obstacles. He'll bring you through them. He'll put you... We just have to quit looking at the obstacles and look to the Savior. Amen. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And when the storms are raging, praise God, He'll reach down. He'll get us by the hand. He'll bring us up and bring us out. And the next thing you know, you'll be on the other side. That's what happened to Peter. Amen. The waves is boisterous and people, but Peter began to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached down, got a hold of him. He said, immediately he was in the boat and he was on the other side. Amen. That's what it'll be, young'uns, if we just trust the Lord. We have to trust the Lord. The nation, our nation is in peril today. But we can fix it. We can change it by just trusting in the Lord. Amen. Making Him our priority.